Welcome to the Design Clinic Download. In this podcast, we dig into the experiences of Design Clinic teams and classmates through the years. I'm your host, Susanna Howe, from the Picker Engineering Program at Smith College. This episode features four alums from the class of 2011, Katie McKenzie, Courtney Murphy, Sarah Pettacini, and Sally Stuhlberg. Their Design Clinic project with the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, or HOOI, was on the design of a sparging chamber subsystem for underwater radon surveying. So thank you so much for being here today. I'm really excited to get a chance to talk with you. And I think we should start by just hearing about where you are right now. What are you doing at this moment? So Katie, why don't you tell us, what are you doing work-wise right now?
Sure thing. I'm a mechanical engineer. I work in the HVAC industry. I'm currently located in Portland, Oregon. And I actually just gave my notice at a firm I've been at with for 11 years. And I start my new job in January.
Wow. What will you be doing for the new job?
Pretty much the same thing, but in a company that does design build instead of pure design consulting.
Excellent. That's really exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Sarah, how about you? What are you doing now?
I work for an environmental consulting company called EA Engineering Science and Technology. I've been there for about 4 years now. I am an environmental engineer, mainly in water and wastewater design, treatment design, mostly focusing in industrial wastewater design. And I live in Peabody, Massachusetts, which is right next to Salem.
Great. Courtney, how about you?
Yeah, so I lead one half of the Avionics North America business for General Electric. We were recently rebranded into GE Aerospace, and we are about to go through a split into three distinct companies. So excited about helping, you know, lead the business through that. I pivoted somewhat from engineering, although I still use those skills in my background to ask, you know, meaningful questions to my team, but currently work in supply chain. So a little bit of a different tact than where I originally started.
And where are you geographically?
I'm in Clearwater, Florida.
All right. And Sally?
Now I've worked as a civil and transportation engineer for the Department of Transportation for New York City. I focus on roadway bridges. I'm in the bridges unit. And my two projects that I work on are the BQE Central project and the Belt Parkway project.
Excellent. Thanks. All right. So quite a wide range of things that you guys are all involved with. So I'd love to take it back to Design Clinic when you were back working together as a team all those many years ago. And hoping that one or more of you can describe what your project was. Who were you working for? What was the title? What was the summary?
We worked with the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. Well, that's why we were Team HOOI. And the project was to design an autonomous sparging chamber as part of a larger system that would measure radon at deep sea conditions. And part of the goal for measuring, or why we would want to measure radon, was to look at the impacts in deep sea ecosystems. So it wasn't necessarily the impact of just radon, but the correlations of other chemicals or elements that could impact the different stratifications or areas of deep sea ecosystems.
Good memory. It's been a long time since you thought about this project.
I think about it all the time.
If I hear radon or sparging, I immediately screenshot it and send it to Katie, if not the whole group. So I think about it pretty often as well.
Is that something that you hear often at work? Because I can tell you in bridges, we do not talk about sparging and radon.
Surprisingly, I do hear sparging more than radon. But I do remember when I bought my house, they asked me if I wanted radon testing for the basement. And I said, no, thank you. I could handle that myself. Need be.
In the built environment, definitely on the West Coast, they found like higher concentrations of radon. So it's a really common thing that we have to include in our building design, whether it's passive or active. So I do think about radon quite a bit.
Excellent. So thinking back to when you started Design Clinic, what were your expectations coming into the course and how did the reality match your expectations?
I think it was an exciting time because it's the kind of culmination of everything that we've done and all the skills that we've built upon to kind of get to that point. And because there were other classes before us, I think their photos were up in the design clinic area, but there was a sense of legacy there and that we finally made it to the design clinic. I mean, I'll speak for myself, but I think, really looking forward to that experience being more team-based and project-based and being able to work with kind of a small group over a longer period of time. So exciting.
I remember being pretty intimidated because of the classes before us. I had a handful of classes with the other engineers from the previous design clinics while they were in design clinic. And I just remember them being like, you're going to have to sleep in the design clinic, lab. It's going to be your whole life for your senior year. And just being, and I'll bring this up again later, but I remember being like, I got to pick people on my team that I will be able to stand for this amount of time. And that was very important to me to like kind of try and figure out who was interested in what, because I was so nervous about just the workload. And I don't think it was nearly as terrifying in reality as I expected it to be, but that's also kind of par for the course for everything that I'm anticipating in life. So it was hard. It wasn't insurmountable.
Yeah, I would have to agree. Definitely feeling intimidated about the time commitment, the projects that had been executed before, and the knowledge that they, were able to present as the culmination of, okay, we're here. Are we gonna, be as impressive as everyone else we were impressed with? These people we'd put on pedestals before, they're just normal people. They're just normal Smith students. They're just, they were just like us and probably hopefully had as much fun and as much stress as we did too. Cause I wouldn't say it wasn't stressful, but it wasn't the scary or unattainable thing.
The only thing I would add is because we had, I would call them mini crash courses leading up to it. Like I always really appreciated the group focused learning that was provided at Smith. That was one of the reasons why I chose it. I just always felt more comfortable in group teams because that's also how I wanted my career to be. Introduction to Engineering course had multiple group projects, but they used buildings as a case study to encompass all the various aspects of engineering. And so throughout the semester, we were learning about building design and, whether that's civil, mechanical, electrical, like all these little tidbits. And we used a mock house, and that was our final project, to build it wherever you wanted to, but had to, quote unquote, survive the outdoor temperatures of Massachusetts in December. Projects like that led us up to design clinic in a way where we were already a really close group of students and friends because we worked together for so long and survived down to the last years. And then group projects, I think, were a really strong way for us to collaborate together. So it did not make it as bad as it could have been.
So it's been more than 11 years since you graduated. Time just flies. And I would love to hear about the pathway that you took between graduating and where you are now. And Sally, you already hinted at this a little bit. So maybe you can start and tell us about what you did and how you got to where you are now.
Sure. I was convinced I was not going to be an engineer when I graduated. I was so sure that I was going to go into film. And so I worked in like major motion pictures in post-production for 3 years. I had some excellent luck in getting the jobs that I got. And then kind of in my second and a half year of working in post-production and working crazy late hours, having no overtime pay and no insurance. I was under 27. So at the time I was still able to get insurance from my parents, but there was no future for me to have real security. And basically I was like, I can't do this anymore. One of the directors or producers at one point said, if you love movies, you should watch movies. If you love making movies, then you should make movies. And I was like, oh, I just love watching movies. I am out of here. So then I decided to go back to engineering and I applied all over, wasn't really sure what I wanted to do, and just kind of ended up at New York City DOT in the bridges unit and worked kind of on some smaller projects. Ended up getting my master's degree at City College in urban sustainability, and then just by chance, well, I don't know if it was by chance, but I was placed on this very large, very high profile project that's the Brooklyn Queens Expressway. And I was only supposed to be on that project for like a month, just kind of trying to help do some research on design build contracts. And I have been on that project now for, I think, 5 years. So yeah, and it's gotten honestly better and better. I'm now a project manager for the Belt Parkway, which is a four bridge parkway. Buses are not allowed on it. We blame Robert Moses. But so now I've graduated into being a project manager at the agency and really learning a lot about what the agency does. And it's been really great. Like, I'm very happy that I came back to engineering.
Katie, how about you? You said you've got a new job. How did you get to where you are now?
When I was at Smith, I had the opportunity to work with various professors in things involving the built environment. A lot of it was researching existing buildings, looking at new building structures for different nearby cities and helping them do renovations, a bunch of side research projects, but I didn't quite understand how that entailed, with mechanical engineering. And I eventually found that path. And funny enough, I have an uncle who used to be known as a controls contractor. So he works in heating, ventilation, air conditioning design. And he always explained it to me, but never really quite clicked until my courses and what I was doing with professors. Like, oh, this is what you do. That sounds pretty interesting to me. And it really involved a lot of forward-thinking, sustainable energy efficiency that I was interested in pursuing in my career. Like, that to me was a good focal point I wanted to have. And he happened to introduce me to this company, Glumac, and randomly knew the president of the company. So I was able to do a meet and greet with him. And I essentially tricked him into giving me an internship. I said, we have this thing called J-term. I get 3 weeks off in January. Can I be an intern? And he said, cool, call my people in San Francisco. They need some help. So I went back that summer and I was there for 11 years, first 4 years in San Francisco. And then I'm from Portland, Oregon. So I moved back 7 years ago and had a great run, wore a lot of different hats there. Everything from, you know, that's where I got my engineering license, did project management, learned a lot about business development, dabbled a little bit on the energy modeling side. But yeah, I just gave my notice literally last Monday and I'm going, still doing design consulting, but for a group that does design build. So it's more on the contractor side. And I'm really excited to just to try something different and maybe look, make my resume look a little bit different instead of one thing for so long.
Great. Thanks so much. That's exciting. All right, Sarah, how about you next? I know you've had a variety of different things you've done.
Yep. So right after Smith ended, I went to work as a full-time volunteer for a program called City Year, which is in urban public schools, where young people volunteer as tutor, mentor, role models. It wasn't a paid position. You know, we made $7,000 before taxes that year, working a lot of hours, but volunteer. So I did that for a year in Columbia, South Carolina. And while I was there, I still wasn't ready to get a big girl job. So I applied to go to grad school and ended up going to Virginia Tech in Blacksburg, Virginia, where I studied for just over a year and a half. I was able to finish my degree and I thought I wanted to do water treatment and ended up being an intern for the sewer utility in the town of Blacksburg. And weirdly enough, I fell in love with wastewater through a connection at Virginia Tech. A company called Dewberry was hiring. And I got an interview. I did not get the position I interviewed for, but out of a long day of interviews with mostly men, my last sort of session was with these two women. And they said, we like you. We're going to hire you for our department instead. So I went to work for disaster recovery, where I ended up working between the DC area and in New York City on the Build a Back program in disaster recovery for about 2 years. I think I was at Dewberry for about 2.5 years and then was able to get a job working for these two gentlemen, Kelly and Chuck, at a company called Newfields. And about 2 years into Newfields, long story short, we all transitioned over to EA engineering. but between my time at Newfields and EA, we've worked mainly, as I said before, in industrial wastewater treatment. We do a little wastewater, regular municipal wastewater, as well as municipal water treatment. And I've worked on design projects from businesses like Colgate to pet food manufacturing, as well as water projects for municipalities, including some towns nearby.
Great, thanks. That's exciting. Courtney, I think you might win the prize for the most locations since you graduated. Can you sort of briefly take us through that journey? Where have you been all over the world?
Sure, happy to do that. Yeah, so right after Smith, I had a quick stint with a company called LBI, which I took our project from Woods Hole and was almost directly applied it as part of a unmanned underwater business where we made autonomous vehicles. And then after that, I knew I wanted to get my master's degree. So I joined the UTC umbrella of companies. And there I worked on the 787 aircraft as part of its flight test. And then from there, I joined a rotational program that they had for their engineering associates. So I actually did 4 rotations, one in the UK for about 6 months, one in Japan for about 2 years, working a flight test program for Mitsubishi, and then another year and a half in Brazil, working on the Embraer E2 program. And then my last rotation was actually back at Windsor Locks, working digital factory and integration with our fuel control program. After that, I outplaced in Southern California, working non-aerospace projects, which were infrared and night vision goggles for the military. From there, I decided I want to go back to aerospace, which is kind of my roots, and joined General Electric Aerospace, what was then aviation, in Michigan. So I worked as a product engineering manager there for about a year before COVID hit. And then at that point, they asked me to lead the original equipment business in supply chain. So I actually pivoted from engineering to supply chain at that point. Was there for about 8 months. And then they asked me to come down to Clearwater, Florida, which is where I am now, to lead one half of the Avionics North America business. And down here, we make printed circuit boards for a lot of the avionics computers and also the black boxes for aircraft, which are actually orange, not black.
Excellent. And you got your master's degree, you said, while you were at the UTC umbrella?
Yes, I did. So I started my MBA actually 2012, and I just finished it last year.
All right, so it sounds like you've all had really interesting and engaging paths since graduating. I'm curious if you could talk a little bit about what skills did you learn in Design Clinic that you have used since graduating? And what has transferred from Design Clinic to your life after Smith? Yeah, Katie.
So this group knows that as soon as we found out our Design Clinic project involved constructing something, I was the first to go run into the machine shop. I was all about being in the machine shop as much as possible. I don't build anything now, per se, but we did use SolidWorks quite a bit and AutoCAD. And for me, I just thought that was like the most fun. Like I had taken a few courses learning how to use that software. Our design was not the most complicated, yet I took it down to a level of detail that was not necessary, but I just really wanted to build the subchamber in SolidWorks down to each screw. And that ended up translating pretty well in my career because by the time I started my job, the industry was just shifting from using AutoCAD 2D to using 3D, and primarily that was Autodesk Revit. I loved it because, you know, going from SolidWorks to that was a really quick transition. For me, that was like a really great skill set that to this day, I still use that software for a lot of different things that I do.
The things that I use the most is, I would say, the presentation skills. We all knew going into the project that we had a presentation at the end. And I think kind of working up to that, you know, working on the presentation itself in terms of PowerPoint, but also how we were going to deliver it, you know, later realizing that's going to be my pretty much daily life is having to give these presentations. It was a nice segue into what I'll call the real world of engineering and in business. So that was great. I also really appreciated the teamwork. I think, you know, working in a team really, I guess, mimics what you're dealing with in real life. You know, I think up to this point, we were very much, you know, focused individually as students where we had some smaller projects, but the success of this project kind of depended on everyone. So it mirrors, I think, very closely what you'll get in any kind of business or engineering firm.
So what would you say was your most memorable or impactful design clinic experience?
Our cubicles were divided, our team and another team made up of Chelsea and Edie's, and it was divided by a bookshelf. So it wasn't an actual cubicle wall. So every day for I don't know how many days, we moved the bookshelf about a half an inch into the other team's cubicle. And mind you, Chelsea is 6'1". She's not a short woman, but it still took her, I think, most of the semester to realize that her cubicle was getting smaller. And it was just the most genius thing. But we had the argument that there were four of us and only two of her.
I'm going to add, it doesn't sound like anything that funny because it's really not that funny of a thing, but it was the timing she figured it out. I'm pretty sure it was like on a really stressful day where we had to do some kind of paper or there's something we had to present or turn into class. So she's having like something go awry, something was going wrong with her computer, I remember. And then she's like, and why is this space so small? And we all just lost it because they had no idea this entire time we had been making the space smaller and smaller and probably adding to her stress level.
And I'm pretty sure that they retaliated by stealing our snacks, which I know that Katie and I were very protective of.
I was trying to be the fun project manager, and that was my take. And I thought it would be a fun way to make us all lighten up a little bit.
I have two pretty fond memories. I feel like one of them was going to meet our customer down in Hui. That was a really fun trip, not only to, you know, spend time with the team and bond, but also kind of see Woods Hole for the first time and kind of get to meet, you know, our sponsors and also see Alvin. Is Alvin the deep sea submergible that found the Titanic, which is really cool. And also be part of the radon technology meeting, which was really neat and interesting. The second fun, not so fun thing. Do you guys remember the night before our presentation?
Don't I know it? Because Courtney got food poisoning.
It was challenging in that everyone was trying to memorize my piece of the presentation just in case I didn't make it. I made it. I think I was white as a sheet the whole time, but we did it. It was great. It was a good presentation, but I think that makes it especially memorable that I almost wasn't there.
So with the benefit of hindsight, how do you see Design Clinic fitting into your overall engineering experience at Smith? How does it fit in terms of getting you prepared as an undergraduate to go off into the world?
I think it prepared us more than many other undergraduates at other programs. I think the Smith program in general does a great job preparing you, especially for grad school. We were more prepared for Design Clinic than we thought. And I think Design Clinic trickles into so much of after school than we think most days.
You're always going to show up to a job where you're not going to know what to do, right? Like no one's going to say, this is how you do your job. They might guide you and mentor you the best as possible. But at some point, like you're going to have to figure things out on your own a little bit. And I think that's what made the project so great because, you know, you can tell all of us have gone in different directions, but also what we took in our core classes had the fundamentals of engineering and math and science, but none of us knew anything about this topic and we all had to research it. And I think about that a lot when I'm thrown really challenging problems. And that's because of the work we did in that project.
So what advice do you have for future Design Clinic students to make the most of their experience?
Pick your team more than you pick your project. Having people that you can trust and that you know you work well with is crucial for a year-long project.
Make sure that you are really focused and can scope your project down. I think we went in a lot of different directions. Like we each took a role in the team, which I think was really great. I do feel like we may have been more successful if we failed faster and kind of changed our prototype more. I think my advice would be, you know, fail fast, see if you can just really focus on one piece of the project and really do that well.
I think one of the really important things that has nothing to do with our specific project, but I know that we relied on Google tools like Google Docs, Google Sheets, and Google Slides long before it was commonplace, and just finding a really good collaborative system where you can see what other people are editing, have your comments addressed, you're not going through a zillion drafts, and then also learning how to create a good project schedule. And, you know, I have to do that now all the time for work, and it is invaluable to be able to track everything that you're doing and all of the different responsibilities.
My advice to all Smithies is please get sleep. Please get sleep as much as possible. I'm still learning that lesson though.
Is there anything else that you want to share that you haven't had a chance to share?
I just want to thank you for your leadership and kind of creation of this program. Like, as we look back, there have been so many different groups that have kind of come through this program, and you've really, you know, put so much of your time and love kind of into this, and it really does show.
It's been really fun. The 20 years have gone by crazy fast, and it's working with people like you that just makes it so enjoyable all the time. So thanks so much for your time. It's been fabulous talking with all of you, and I'm really enjoying this trip down memory lane and hearing about what HUI did and what HUI has done since. So thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.